Behold, I show you a great mystery. Say mystery. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Actually, go to 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be change. Behold, I show you a great mystery. Say, it's a mystery. Something that you naturally wouldn't think about. We said earlier, we're going to develop your faith in what? What are we going to be developing our faith in? We're going to be developing our faith not only to live on earth, but we're also going to develop our faith concerning the kingdom to come. Develop our faith concerning the rapture. Develop our faith concerning the coming of Christ. And I'm going to develop your faith to the point to where you know what's soon about to take place. You should know what's about to happen to you. Everybody know that caterpillars at once in a while, they go through a metamorphosis. And if you understand what the term metamorphosis, it means they change from one type being or one type creature into another. Say, behold, I show you a great mystery. You also shall go through a great metamorphosis. Not many days from now. And you should rejoice. It says that we shall be changed. And you should shout about that because that's a good thing. You're not going to be the same thing not many days from now. The stuff that you're dealing with today, you're going to be changed into the image of God. You'll be delivered from that mind of sins, no longer having the battle of the devil in your thought line, always thinking the things of God. While we're here, we're always tempted to do some crazy, wild things. Anybody been there? Always tempted to miss it. There's always a possibility. But there's a change coming. You live the best way that you know how to live down here by the utterance and guidance of the Holy Ghost, but there's going to come a supernatural change when Jesus shall come. Says we won't all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Changed from mortal to immortality. Say, we're going to switch essence. You're not going to be the same type of being up there that you are down here. Behold, I show you a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I tell you what, some people are getting excited about the rapture that's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But also in that moment and twinkling of an eye, in between the change, you're going to change essence. You're going to change being. There's going to be a change that takes place in you. How many of you noticed that when you got saved, there was a change over you? When you got saved, there was a change over you. Then there comes that experience. Some of you have had experiences of sanctification where God washed over your mind and you don't think the way you used to think. But I want you to know that there's another change coming. And that complete, that desire to be anything that links you to any part of this world, it's going to be taken from you. And someone says, now, anybody ever heard people talk about people that are up in glory? And they say, in glory, you know, you don't even care about the things that were down here once you're up there. There's no giving in marriage up there. You might find somebody. So and you say, how can you deal with it? I want to be around all my friends. You know, I want to know everybody like I know them down here. How is it that you won't have those same emotions, those same things? Anybody ever thought about that before? You're going to go through a change. You're going to have a higher understanding. You're going to be restored to the image that God created you to be.
Maybe that is the point when they're only using about, what is it, 9/10 of our brain capacity? 10% of our brain capacity. And then when this change comes, I believe we're going to receive it all. And not only that, but our whole being will be alive in Christ Jesus. Say, behold, I show you a great mystery. Look forward to it. Look forward to it. If you can hold out a little bit down here, you can hold out just a little bit down here, you'll have the victory. And you'll be able to, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. That self-destructive behavior, that part of us that's bent towards sin, that part of us that's bent toward death. Paul said one thing, I want to do right sometime, but I just can't get it together. Anybody found, we like to make excuses for ourselves sometimes, but you know what? There is a part, as long as you're on the earth, as long as there's a devil, there'll be temptation to do the wrong thing. Just because there's temptation doesn't mean you have to yield to it. See, what we're delivered from, we are already delivered from sin. Just because the devil puts something in front of your face doesn't mean you have to take it. Not only are we delivered from sin, we're delivered from the temptation to sin. Many of you haven't heard about this change that's supposed to take place. One of the things that you could rejoice about it, you'll want to do the right thing all the time with no second guesses. You'll be delivered from the ability to sin. The tempter will tempt you no more. You'll be set free completely. The corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Say, the part of me that's dying is going to put on something that will live forever. There is a scientific word, I can't remember the word right now, that says that everything is in the process of dying. Every living thing is basically dying. You plant a tree and you say, that tree is living. No, that tree is growing, that it might die. From the day it's created, what it starts to do is die. When a baby grows up, that baby's not growing into life. That baby's growing into death. Everything here, there's a curse of death just about on everything here. Nothing on earth besides God lives forever. Everything has an end. Wow, do you know you have a number of days in this body? Your body will not live forever. It's numbered because it's earthly. Well, there's a change that's coming about where you won't have that mentality anymore. There'll be no mark of time. Time will be no more. Because we're dealing with people that live forever. My goodness. No time frames whatsoever. You don't have to think about retiring. You don't think about, I'm not going to be here forever, so it doesn't matter that much. Amen. You're going to be around forever. Your body will endure forever. You'll have an incorruptible nature to ever be with the Lord and never depart from Him. People say you might know your parents for about 80 years and sooner or later they're going to kick the bucket. But when we get to glory, we're talking about eternal relationship. Nothing shuts down. Corruption and the corruptible will be no more. You'll be of the essence of life forever. What a mentality. We shall be changed. Let's develop our faith. So when this corruptible shall have put on corruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Somebody say, then. Glory to God. We can claim it by faith right now, but then. Then we can put on this thing. Death, where is thy sting? There'll be no more sting of death. Good things will last forever. You ever heard the worldly people say, all good things come to an end? But there's a day where death will have no sting. A good thing will remain forever. Nothing will grow tired. Nothing will grow weary. It will be renewed day by day because we'll be created in the image of our God. It said, death is swallowed up in victory. Never again will it be an end to a good thing. Say, we shall be changed. Oh, the devil's mad, but God is glad. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. We won't miss it anymore. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye, say, do this now. in order to get what we're talking about, this change of being, in order to experience tomorrow, we got to live like this today. Paul said, listen, you don't have to be this way. You don't have to do fit. There'll come a time when you don't have to live your life like verse 58 forever. It'll be natural for it, but right now you got to work something into it. Right now there's a little opposition to it, but it'll get easier after a while. And when death is swallowed up in victory, it'll get easier for you. But for right now, verse 58 is what we should be living in, and this is what we should be doing to inherit what God has us to inherit. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be ye unmovable. Always, say always, abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, more than what you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right now, say, it's a fight of faith. I'm working on a building. When I get through, I'm going up to heaven to get my rewards. There'll be a change of nature in us. There'll be a whole new creature that we have to experience. But right now, say right now, this is just a little while. This life that we live in comparison to eternity, it's just a short time. It's just a drop in the bucket. Do you hear what I'm saying? So in this time frame that we have, in this season that we have, in comparison to eternity, we should be steadfast. Say, never give up. Always abounding. Steadfast, unmovable. Say, I'm not going anywhere. Just like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, like the vision you had, brother, I shall not be moved. If you can stand stable now, God will be sure that you stand throughout all eternity. If you sow the seeds of faithfulness here in the earth, God will assure you that he'll be faithful to you throughout all eternity in that change of name. You do it here, he'll take it over there. But he even has the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, here on earth to help you remain faithful during this short time. Say, how much do you have to give in comparison to eternity? Everything. How strong do you have to be in your faith in comparison to eternity? Absolutely sure. Absolutely stable. Say, packing up and getting ready to go. You got to have this mentality. This world is not my home. I'm just passing by. I'm packing up and getting ready to go. You got to think, how do you pack up and get ready to go? And you start packing up things that the devil... Say, listen, I'm not here. This is just a temporary stay. This is not my home. I'm just leasing right now. God's got a home prepared for me in glory. Therefore, I've got to be steadfast. Steadfast in my faith concerning the kingdom of God to come. And unmovable. Unmovable when everybody else wants to run away. When everybody else wants to get tired and give up. Don't move from God's best. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Say, always abounding. Always abounding in what? See, some people always want to abound in anything, but it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So there is a work of the Lord. Whatever you do, if the Holy Spirit's got you doing it, I declare to you, listen, it's a work of the Lord. If you work your job and you're ministering to your fellow workers and those different things, and you're going out there to bring increase into the kingdom of God, guess what? That is a work of the Lord. Don't give up. Jesus is coming. And this life that you chose to live, which is good down here, it's a lot better than what everybody else is living, but it yet gets better. Your labor shall not be in vain. Go to verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Say, I'm going to get up better than what I go down. Say it one more time. I get up better than what I go down. Sown. Down. The only way up is down. God said if you humble yourself, he would do what? Exalt you. Those that will be abased, they shall also abound. But those that push themselves to the front, God will make sure they get a back row seat. But if we live our life in this time, if we live our life down, say on our knees, not with our chest outstretched in pride to God, but if we humble ourselves and bow our life during this temporary season that we face right here, sown, planted. If we plant our life on earth, God will be sure, God will take responsibility to make sure we blossom in the kingdom to come. It is sown in dishonor. It looks like a dishonorable life. That's what God said. Listen, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. We look at Jesus, and they said he was the king of all things. He said, those that would be your Lord must become your servants. Don't worry about it. Live the way Jesus told you to live right now. Don't worry about it. God will take care of you. He will provide for you. Listen, you will get up a whole lot better than what you go down. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what? Power. We don't want to have our own power. We want to have the power of God. Paul said, listen, I boast in my weakness because when I am weak, that's when he is strong in me. Say, I'm strong when I'm weak. And the world might think they're defenseless. You need to take up for yourself. You need to slap that person 3 times. No, you're going to follow the way the Bible tells you to do things. You're going to humble yourself. Say, I'm going to go down. But when I go down, the Spirit of God in me comes back strong. Many people aren't able to come back on the second wind strong because they're never able to bow down. If you want to regain your strength, humble yourself. If you want to regain your, say, turn on the switch. But many times the switch is basically when you switch faces, you're switching one face to the face of God for the face of God. Or you can stay there the whole time. When a situation gets in front of your face or a problem, adversity, something that's greater than you, the devil says you better work this out in your own power. You better develop an attitude about this. You better raise your voice. You better talk a little bit sharper. That's how we stay. The devil wants you to stay up, but the Bible tells us to humble ourselves. Say, go down. In the world's opinion, it may look like dishonor. Humble yourself. Don't worry about it. Look, Jesus hung on the cross, and all the world, despising all the shame, he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, worthy to be worshipped. But he was mocked, spit upon, bruised, poked fun at, and done all these other things. But that was his road, said, sown in dishonor. But glory to God, raised in honor. He rose up with a name high above every name. If that is our good shepherd, if that is our example, we can follow the same road. Say, I'm not afraid to die to self or anything. Death, where is there your sting? Because there's something within me that never dies. My emotion may die, my anger may die. I'll let that die. I'll crucify the flesh. But there's something on the inside of you, and that's the Spirit of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and that thing will never die. But that thing will never be seen in the world. That thing will never show up when you need it most if you're not willing to get out of the way. And the only way to get out of the way is to get dead to the flesh. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he might what? Increase. And many people want to see an increase of God. Amen. We want to see an increase of finance, an increase of all these other things. But I tell you what you need an increase of God. And there won't be an increase of God or God's ability in your life until there is a decrease of yourself. Say, more of you, less of me. Whenever God starts chipping at the things in your heart, start saying, hey, this is my little area we want to correct here. This is something you might want to die to. That's God saying, I want to become bigger in your life. God wants room in your heart. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised. Somebody say, it's raised what? A spiritual body. Say, I'm learning how to switch it. We always used to crank a joke. We always say, there are certain circumstances that come and say, don't let me pull carnal man out on you. We all have a carnal nature. That old thing, you can pull it up out of the grave if you want to. Some of your best friends to your carnal man, it's like superhero, comes to rescue every time a situation arises. Somebody calls you on the phone with the wrong word, and go to the graveyard pulling up carnal man. He comes up out of the grave with a big D on his chest and a big cape. Death, sin. I'm ready to tell somebody else, say, this looks like a job for carnal man. But carnal man is like Lucille Ball. Lucy used to mess up everything she showed up on the scene with. She made a lot of noise, but 15 to 20 minutes into the show, she was in a big mess. Many of us are always willing to pull up carnal man to get things accomplished. We want to sow to the flesh when we really think a job needs to get done. The Bible tells us the flesh profiteth some things. The flesh profit is when you got somebody that really needs to be told off. The flesh profits nothing. But we can prevail in the Spirit of God. Instead of us running to our flesh, running to our head, running to our own thoughts, we need to run to the secret place of the Most High God, humble ourselves and die, that Superman will arise within us. And Superman is Christ Jesus. If I get out of the way, He'll get in the way, and He'll work it all right. He'll work it out all right. Do you know that? Say the road of humility, the only way up is down. As it is written, the first man was made a living soul, the last man was made a quickening spirit. That was not first which was is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is of the Lord, heavenly. As it is earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as it is heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, everybody's born the image of the earthly, we shall also, say also, bear the image of the heavenly. Paul taught us that there are different bodies. Did y'all know that? It's a celestial body. There are celestial beings and heavenly beings. Now, we don't have the same, we're not the same type beings of the angels. There's celestial bodies, and all these other things. Well, do you know you're going to develop, amen, that you're going to gain a different body in a different dimension? You're not going to have an earthly body, but you're going to have a heavenly glorified body? Do you believe it? Imagine what you can accomplish with this glorified body and the things that you can do with this glorified body. How can we, say, bring on the supernatural change that God wants us to bring on? The Bible says that all of the earth and all creation groans and yearns to see the manifestation of the sons of God. They want to see you change. Say, all creation's waiting for me to become what God said I should be. Here it is, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, and there are bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Say, I'm going to develop a change. Go to verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou soweth is not quickened. Say, what you sow is not made alive, except it do what? Paul said right here. Go to verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I do what? What does it say? What does it say it happens daily? I develop my mind daily. I build my ego daily. I assert myself daily. People go to these assertive classes where they learn to tell people off and stand their ground. But Paul said, listen, one thing I do daily. Say, not when I first got saved. Not when you first get saved. Not when the music's real good and the immersion's on. Paul said, I die daily. Paul had a routine, didn't he? He prayed in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost all the time, building up himself in the most holy faith. We wonder why the man could write more passages of the Bible than anybody else. Why? He had developed a lifestyle. And the lifestyle was prayer, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and daily death. He had to die to some things. The seed that you sow, it's not enough to sow seed. It's not enough to even the seed of your life. Many of us are around here, we're sowing our life. But even a seed sown becomes nothing unless it humbles itself and dies. I see it in this ministry all the time. We get different people that come in, they come in, and they go out. They all invest. Everybody that comes here invests something of themselves. But the seed that prospers is the seed that comes in and dies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not talking about physically dying. The seed that comes in here and drops agendas, You're not going to be able to prosper in any area of your life. You got to realize that God has a higher plan for you than you do. The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, and not to harm you. Say, thank God for that. His ways are above, higher than our ways, or above our ways, so you don't have to worry about it. He can do a better job of taking care of you than you can. So you don't have to do anything to worry about it. He just wants you to get in here and to get into the things of God and trust Him to plant the seed of your life. Saying, after you plant it, after you get it into the works, let it die. And that seed won't do anything. After the seed dies, a flower grows. Listen. The seed of your life will do nothing. It's not enough. Many people want to throw the stuff in. They want to throw their life into ministry. They want to throw their life into the church. They want to throw their life into Christianity and all these other things. And then when they get confronted with the change of God, they refuse to die and they wonder why they become unproductive. The Bible says until the seed dies, it won't be quickened until it dies. Do you want to increase the anointing of the Holy Ghost on your life? How many of you want to do that? How many of you want to see more power? More death, more life. More death, more power. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. How could Paul say that? He made sure that stayed true. You got to play Night of the Living Dead with yourself until you're changed. Do you know that? I got a homework assignment for everybody. Everybody go watch Night of the Living Dead. Well, if you'd watch Night of the Living Dead, you wonder. We don't want to see it on TV, but we live our life like that every day. What do you mean living life like Night of the Living Dead? How can you tell if dead things around? It stinks real bad. It smells real bad. And we think just because we get saved, the old man will never get up again. It will play Night of the Living Dead on you. You think just because you get healed, that sickness is trying to get, not going to come back on you. And as long as you're here, guess what? It will try to come back. Until the change. Say, until the change. So you got to learn to play Night of the Living Dead. How do you play Night of the Living Dead? Said, keep the flesh under. What do you think Paul was talking about? Said, I keep my flesh under. That means he kept it in the ground. Every time it tried to get up. Let me help you out, Paul. He said, get under. Has anybody practiced? We all want to fight the devil. Every day, I battle the devil. I battle the principalities in the heavens. Somebody say, they're already taken care of. I'm fighting the devil in the doorknob. I'm fighting the devil on the television. I'm fighting the devil. But Paul said one thing I do daily. He said he didn't go after the devil daily. He said, I crucify my flesh. You will find out that your greatest enemy after conversion is that flesh. The thing that's trying to keep you from life is the old nature that will try to come back on you. And you're going to have to fight steadfast. And you're going to have to fight unmovably and not be moved by your emotion and by your fear. You hear what I'm saying? Until you receive that change that God has for you. That's the shout. That's what the shout's all about. I'm just talking about the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Say, free. When we used to shout in the church I came from, we weren't just shouting about the pearly streets of gold. Gold is nice. Can't eat it. Thank God for gold. We're all going to be taken care of up there. What's the difference between gold and brick? As long as you're in existence. But we were shouting that death would be swallowed up in victory. That we wouldn't have to battle that flesh trying to come back again. Die daily that you might be able to live the life of Christ. Verse 24. Then cometh the end. Then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy Say the last one. That shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, and when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son of God also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead, and why stand ye in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing that I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with the beasts of Ephesus, what advantage if it me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it dies. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, and there is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and one, and another of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in death, in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam a quickening spirit. The last Adam a quickening spirit. The last Adam a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the earthly, such are they also that are heavenly. But we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. Everybody repeat that. We have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. We have borne the image of the earthly. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Let's do it again. We have borne the image of the earthly. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I shall bear the image of the heavenly. I shall bear the image of the heavenly. Two more. I shall bear the image of the heavenly. One more. I shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Say, it's time to get spiritual. Start to change now. Say, get out of the flesh. Get out of the flesh that you might be able to inherit the Spirit of God. Jesus prophesied to us as he taught in these messages, telling us how to stay in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and develop our faith. Opportunities from the world are coming every day to occupy our mind, to make us lose our focus. But now is the time to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these other things may be added unto us. For Jesus is about to come, and flesh and blood, people that are caught up in natural things, people that have their focus on the earthly, will not be able to inherit the kingdom of God. Say, get ready to go. It's all right to have a good job. Just don't let a good job have you. It's all right to have a lot of money. Just don't let a lot of money have you. Be free. Be in possession of all things, but have no thing possess you. Behold, I show you a mystery. Jesus must be coming. Jesus must be coming. This is a good book. I mean, this is just a good book. It's a real living book. I tell you what, this book is amazing. I mean, you could get on a kick and get out there. When God's speaking about money, everything you open your book to is money. Then God starts saying, I'm coming again. And you're about to teach one thing. He says, open your book here. I don't know this whole book by heart. I'm not a concordance. God, I just can't say, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter this and it'll come up where we need to be. God says, no, I'm talking to you trying to develop your faith to get you out of here. God's trying to help you even in this message that you might not understand. God's prophesying to you. He's speaking the word of faith to you concerning the end time. Therefore, he must be coming again. How much does he have to say it? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and then this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written. Then shall be the saying that, I'm going to tell you what, then people will understand what God was talking about. Then they won't be looking at you confused in the face. Death, where death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? See, death wants to talk to people at times. You could have been doing this with your life. You mean to tell me you took my tithe? You mean to tell me you took this from me? I could have been running around with any woman I wanted to run around with, to do whatever I want to do, and I died to that? Death was trying to tell you, I'm getting over on you. You're just missing a good life. You could have been doing all the things you wanted to. Death talks to you sometimes. I tell you what, the things you died to, you didn't waste your life. You could have been doing this. You could have been doing that. You hanging around God. Then when Jesus appears, death won't have any victory. It won't have everything you've died to. You'll be able to rejoice over. You won't be depressed and despised because you're not living like everybody else. Because you've chosen to live a sanctified and holy life, set apart, things that other people will do, you don't want to do anymore. You're not even tempted to buy it. You're not afraid to die to it. You'll let whatever go that has to go in order to obtain God's best. Death will have no victory. How many of you live in death? How many of you not living that life of self-denial? You process everything by the Holy Ghost. That might be a good thing, but if it's not the God thing for me, I'm going to kill it. I'm not going to go to the left nor to the right. I'm going to stay right in the center of the will of God. I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death can't make you die. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is you missing God's best for your life. Whatever the Holy Ghost tells you to do, do it with all your heart, no matter what the price, no matter the cost. The sting of death is sin. There's a revelation in that. The sting of death is sin. Thank God for the spirit of revelation. Thank God for the spirit of revelation. Thank God for the spirit of revelation. I'm a dummy. Do you know that? But with the Holy Ghost, we know all things. And I know when the Holy Ghost is speaking, when he's not. Oh, death, where is thy victory? It will be worth it all. That's what that means. Are you hearing me? That's what it means. It doesn't mean just when you die, you get to get up again. It means more than that, because there are some people which will never die physically because the rapture will come. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Those that have lived a self-sacrificial life, those that have denied themselves and followed the Holy Ghost, when you don't understand some things. Some of us are living life under the yielding of the Spirit of God, listening to the voice of God, let that make decisions for you. And at times that may look like you're dying to some stuff. When Jesus comes, all those things that you thought were worth something, and all those things you thought really mattered, and all those things you thought would really supply life, will be revealed for what it truly is. Death will have no victory over you. The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Keep on with the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and be very cautious in this day. Be very cautious in this day. Be very cautious and keep your ears open to the Holy Ghost and to the Spirit of God. Don't stray to the left or right, even though it may mean death to certain things. Jesus is coming. Be steadfast. I'm listening to this word and I'm going to obey it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Be steadfast, man of God. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor will not be in vain. Don't do anything, people. We have to really pray over everything we do. There are opportunity things that appear to be things out there. But if it's the Holy Ghost leading you, it's an opportunity. The Word leads you, and the Word is your plan of blessing. Don't stray from it. Don't care how much is there. Better hear God and follow through. How many are glad you have the voice of the Lord in your life? And how many are glad that the voice of the Lord leads you to die into some things and teaches you how to bow down? Write these three words down. Humility. Death, transformation, change. Jesus is coming. Those things you're going to have to deal with yourself. But as I was looking at my Bible, those words were just popping out. And I would say prophetically that that's something the Spirit of God is trying to say to us. One of the ways that we're going to get ready is to humble ourselves. And let's deal with sanctification and holiness as well. I'm over my time. I prophesy and I speak that the next wave shall be a wave of holiness. And not force convicting, preaching, and all those things. But people casting off yokes that so easily beset us. You may be dealing with some things. There may be some strongholds. But there's a wave of God's grace coming, a preparation wave coming, where God's going to start to prepare his bride, which you are. And Jesus shall set you free. And he who the Son sets free, when he sets you free down here, he who the Son set free, you can't stay down here free. This is a place of bondage. That's why you'll be freed indeed. The freed ones shall be free. Are you catching it? Say, the freed ones shall be free. He who the Son sets free shall be free indeed.